Now, back to Good Morning New Hampshire with Peter St. James and Pat Kelly on 107.7 The Pulse.
Mr. Friel had sticky out ears, and it made him awful sharp, and so they gave him medicinal compound. Now you see, never heard.
That's Paul McCartney's brother.
Really?
Mike McGeer. The band was called Scaffold, and it's called Lily the Pink. It's the only song I know that talks about medicinal compound. And seeing as how we're going to be talking about medicinal plants, it's the closest I could get.
That was pretty good.
Well, thank you. I tried. Greg is back from Concord Food Co-op. It's Friday morning, Greg.
Good morning.
How are we today?
Oh, it's a nice day out there, isn't it? I'm taking this call at the co-op parking lot again. I'm sitting in my car with my sunglasses on. So
that's okay.
That little studio.
And see, people are driving by going, oh, we can't park there. See the security guys there with the sunglasses.
And he's calling me in right now.
Well, there you go. Wow. And also with us this morning, Julianne is back. Julianne Hartley, how are you?
I'm great.
And she has her album out called Miss Julianne Therapeutic Songs for Kids. And for more information, you can go to missjulianne.com. That's Julianne with no E. It's julianne.com. And somebody who called us yesterday to make sure the phone line worked ahead of time. I mean, that's thorough.
That was great.
Sarah Woods Kender, clinical herbalist and Reiki master with over 10 years of experience as an herbal practitioner, owns Sacred Tree Herbals in Meredith and offers classes on beginning advanced herbalism, consults, custom formulations, and shamanic Reiki sessions. You can visit Sarah online at sacredtreeherbals.com. You can email Sarah at sarahsherbs.com. Or landline, hello, old school,
hello,
call 279-2779. There you go. So welcome, Sarah.
Hello.
Welcome back,
yeah.
Sarah.
Yeah. I was hoping for another psychic reading today, but I guess we're talking about other things.
Okay. Yes, and we shall.
All right. Well, Greg, as always, we're gonna let you you're the captain of the ship, so steer the ship.
Kick it off. Well, it's the primary topic today is foraging, and I just love the topic. I'm not brave enough to do it myself because I just don't know what I would be picking. I mean, even something like mushrooms I wouldn't even touch, or you know, I don't know the difference between a fern and a whatever you're calling those. So, but I love the concept of living off the fat of the land and going out there, and that there's plenty of food out there, but. Maybe they have a little bit of both Sarah and Julianne have some guidance for us today or ways to maybe, you know, that we can improve our skill set. So maybe I can get brave enough to do that myself anyway.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I can get one of those little books that, you know, shows mushrooms and berries, but I don't know if I'd have the guts to. I need somebody to tell me, you know, no, you can't eat a partridge berry. Oh, okay. But it looks good.
But you can't.
Wait, who told you can't eat a partridge berry?
Somebody told me I couldn't do it. It was poisonous or something. See, that's what I mean. You know, somebody said I can't do it.
Right. And I think it's that.
Yeah, I think we grew up with this fear around foraging, right? Like, when in reality, there's actually, like, much more you can eat and touch safely than could actually hurt you out there.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay, so yeah. Like, to Greg's point, if you walk back in the woods right now, what is out there that I could, that's like nutritional, that in terms of, you know, medicinal stuff is good for me that I could eat without, you know, worrying about calling the ambulance and getting them to come take me to the hospital?
Well, there's lots of things. Well, first and foremost, you know, I do a lot of foraging for medicinal, making, you know, medicinal teas and medicines. Food is definitely part of the process, but right now you could go and pick some pine needles and make some pine needle tea and get a bunch of vitamin C. You can do the new growth of the hemlock buds, makes a really nice tea. you can add it to different foods. Right now coming up are violet leaves, which are wonderful in salads raw. They have anti-tumor qualities to them, wonderful for the circulatory system, high in, you know, different nutrients and vitamins. And that's one thing about wild foods is that they do contain, typically, per unit mass, more nutrition than our cultivars.
You know,
and growing these foods for size and taste, we've kind of sliced out, if you will, genetically the nutritional denseness of a food. So, and even like oxeye daisy right now is coming up, and you can eat those leaves. You can cook them lightly or eat them raw, and they have tons of vitamin A. I mean, like 19,000 IUs per serving. So, and a basic serving is about 100 grams. So,
all right. Now you talk about pine. Okay, are we talking white pine or red pine?
White, well, any pine mostly, but white pine in particular. And then the hemlock would be the eastern hemlock tree.
Okay. Now, how do I make this tea? I just grab a branch, throw a bunch in the pan, throw some water in, and call it good? I mean, how am I doing that?
Well, yeah, you want to heat your water to nearly a boil, throw your needles in there, turn the water off, cover it, let it sit for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and then you can add honey to taste. It's quite tasty too.
Really?
If you want to enhance it, you can scrape off the bark, the stems, right? That has the inner bark has a lot of antiviral properties that are really helpful if you're fighting a cold or something.
No kidding.
You want to just give it an extra boost.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know. Wow.
Yeah, and so, you know.
And you
so
call that a grande. You got the grande pine tea. Yeah.
You can combine the pine and the hemlock chips.
Wow. Okay.
But, you know, but what Sarah was saying is just, like, there is so much around us that is available and edible and totally safe for us to consume and is completely packed with nutrients. And, you know, especially right now when we are starting to have some food shortages happening in certain commercial areas, it's a nice reminder that, like, oh my gosh, in my backwoods or at my local park, I've got so much available to me to help supplement maybe any nutrition I might be losing.
Right? And it's free.
How did we move away from going out in the backyard and getting all this stuff to prepackaged food that's not good for you?
I mean, foraging takes time. That's like, you know, that's a big thing. And obviously, if you're on a walk already, you can grab a handful of pine needles or you can do something like that. But, you know, I think mostly we kind of moved away because of convenience. Like, we had a store with all these things.
Right. And I think, Julie, you touched on something really important at the beginning, and you mentioned, you know, and I was just talking about this to someone else the other day, is that we've been ingrained and conditioned to fear the wild. And that's been peppered in and out of nursery rhymes and things like that. So there is, I mean, not that the fear is unwarranted, because if you make a mistake with something, it could kill you. But, you know, 99% of the things out there are not poisonous. And especially this time of year, even, you know, there's this plant that grows up in the swamp, and it's marsh marigold, and it's coming up. It's one of the first plants that comes up right now in the swampy areas in the woods before you get all the leaves, and you can really see them grow, and they have these beautiful yellow flowers. And if you eat the leaves now, they're not poisonous. But if you wait, they become more irritating to the body. So even the ones that may be a little irritating or they can cause some poison through your body later on in the season, they're perfectly edible right now. Milkweed, the young shoots of milkweed are beautiful. Japanese knotweed, which is something that is invasive in this area, is a wonderful food. And it helps reduce bad cholesterol in your body. It has high amounts of resveratrol, which is
good for Lyme.
Now, see, growing up in Maine, it was not uncommon for many people in the small town I lived in to go out for fiddleheads come spring. I mean, that was a big deal.
And they're out now.
Yeah.
in abundance. But
they are, yeah.
How do you tell the difference? I look at a fiddlehead and I go out and I look at a fern and the fern is a fiddlehead. What's the primary distinction?
So the ostrich fern is where fiddleheads come from, and they don't have fur. And I just suggest people make sure they know what an ostrich fern looks like, because it's the next year you're going to go harvest them. So try to ID them with clearly somebody who knows what they look like. They're quite a large fern when they grow to full form later on in the season. They have no fur, and they have these little brown, little scaly things near the stem. And you want to get them before they unfurl. So it's just one of
things. And it's like a treasure hunt when you find them. It's a lot of fun to do with kids.
All right, so wait, what happens if I misidentify a fiddlehead and I eat a fern? Is that, like, bad for me?
Well, it depends on the fern, but you should be okay. You know, there's some that might be irritating and cause you digestive distress, and I'm not even going to pretend to know all the ferns out there and what they can do, you know, but I know that to stick with the ones that are safe, which is definitely ostrich fern. The royal ferns tend to be okay. There's one in particular it's called Osmunda. That one isn't necessarily tasty, but we use it for medicine. So, you know, ferns are they're pretty medicinal as well, but there are certain ones you want to stay away from.
All right, now give us basic foraging 101. Give us an easy one to go find. Okay, you did the pine needles.
Dandelion.
I get that.
Dandelion.
Oh, right. Oh, of course.
Okay.
The root, the leaves, the flowers. We just made some dandelion wine the other day.
Ooh.
Wow, that's great.
How tough is that?
You can do with the dandelion.
How tough is dandelion wine to make?
Oh, it's super easy. It's just a country wine, and you just add the dandelion petals. Very easy.
But better question,
all you need
how does
is
it
time.
Taste?
I'm sorry, Greg.
How does it taste?
It
tastes like alcohol. You know, like, I think it tastes okay. I don't drink much of it personally, but, you know, people we've served it to, we call it a crowd pleaser because even the very picky people who don't want to maybe even try a fiddlehead or something, they'll try that and they'll finish a glass.
I love dandelion wine. I drink it. And my husband, he makes his own wines, and he was delving into dandelion. And there's another plant that's really easy to ID, which is the violet that grows pretty much on everyone's lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd harvest the dandelion flowers and harvest the violet flowers. And he made a wine called Liquid Sunshine. And it was just amazing. There's the violet. So violet would be another one that would be easy to identify.
And they taste good. Like kids, I find that kids, it's really fun for them to eat the violet flowers and the dandelion flowers, and they just get really excited about being able to eat something out in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good kind of like first step. I would say that it is super important that you make sure you're not eating plants from areas that have been treated with lots of fertilizers or pesticides.
Oh, very, very good. Very, very good.
Yeah, I mean, like, those are the poisons you're going to be getting. They're man-made poisons that we're putting on plants, essentially. So, you know, that's all another incentive to not spray your lawn this year so that you can eat all the amazing food it's going to grow.
Right. And never forage on the side of the road either.
Well, because you just don't know about that.
Exactly. And they're typically spraying on the sides of the road, too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least I know what to do with all the dandelions on the lawn now.
Yeah. Oh, and, yeah. And the roots, they make the best coffee. Dig them up and eat the roots. Roast the roots. Oh, it's incredible.
Are the roots. Now what do I get for vitamins out of the roots?
Oh, it's there. I don't know what all the vitamins are, but I know that it's really good for detoxifying your liver.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah. Okay. Okay,
so you're going to get, you're going to get a lot of minerals out of the roots, trace minerals, you know, calcium, potassium, all that. You're going to get vitamin A, you're going to get vitamin E, and those are just the ones off the top of my head.
Oh, wow.
So they're very nutrient dense, and they have wonderful nutritional profiles.
How's it taste?
Oh, it's like coffee and chocolate combined.
Ooh.
It is incredible when it's roasted. Oh, it is incredible. My favorite drink. Every spring, I just get so excited when the dandelions pop up because I'm like, it's dandelion coffee time.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
It's really nice. It can be a little bitter. I personally like, if you've ever heard of burdock,
yep.
There's another wonderful, it's sweeter than dandelion, and burdock root is also called, there's several different species of burdock, but one in particular, the Chinese call it gobo, and that's a different species than the one that typically grows here, but they use burdock as a root vegetable. And I'm sure the co-op has had burdock root in there from people foraging.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but, and that's what
I bought it from the co-op before. They do.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, burdocks are the one, the nettles are the ones that stick to my dogs when they go out. You know.
That's the burdock burr.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Burr.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It makes so that makes it easy for you to forage, Peter.
Yeah. I'll just send the dogs out. Go. Yeah. Walk through the bushes. 8:50 is the time. Bring Daddy back some food. We'll take a break.
Good boy. Good girl.
We'll be talking more about foraging and the Concord Food Co-op right after this.
All right. This is somewhat apropos.
People moving out, people moving in. Why? Because of the color of their skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide. And I bought a tooth for a tooth. Vote for me, and I'll set you free. Rap on,
The Temptations. All the confusion. 8:54 is the time. 1-866-823-1077. That's what it comes down to.
Well, only
when
if
I'm foraging.
If
what?
You don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Only if you don't know what you're doing.
All right. Well, okay. Go ahead, Greg.
Jenny Ann should write us a song about how to forage, and then, you know, little hints like, you know, the fiddleheads don't have fur or something, you know.
Make a,
so we can
have
some instruction that, you know.
Yeah, find somebody that knows what they're doing.
There are so many great books out there, and I know I'm someone who likes to learn from another person, not
excellent.
A book. My husband can just read the book and go out and find all the plants, which God bless him. But I know Sarah does plant walks, right?
I do. I can go to your house too, and I can tell you what you have growing around you, and you can.
Yeah, so that just sounds like such a great resource for people if they are curious and they want to get started. Just have Sarah come and do a plant walk with you.
Wow.
How do you charge for that, Sarah? Is that by the hour, or how do you do that service?
I do it by the trip. You know, I don't. You know, and I always encourage people to invite others so they can share the cost. But you know, a 3-hour plant walk, I charge $154 to go to your house, and if you can get a few people to, you know, to share the cost, it's kind of a neat little thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I do encourage people to see the plants up close, because looking in books can be very misleading, because a lot of times there's no relativity to it. So you think the plant might be this big, and even though they tell you the dimensions, it looks completely different sometimes in the wild. So
Now, I saw around the back of my house, the trilliums are out. Are they at all edible, or are they poisonous, or what?
But I do consider them very medicinal. There's several different trilliums that have been used in the past, mostly for helping women birth. Many of them, one of them in particular, is called Birth Root. The nodding trillium right now is coming up. It's the red with the little, and that one was used very similarly for the birthing process. So they have very specific uses.
Yeah.
So I would have to look back to see if people would actually eat those in the past. But my feeling is probably not, because there's some pretty active constituents in there that you might not want to just eat it in a meal.
Is there something besides poison sumac, poison oak, and poison ivy that I give a wide berth to that you don't want to eat, that, you know, don't play with this?
Poke.
Oh.
If you've seen poke.
Really?
It's a beautiful plant. It's poke salad.
Poke. Yeah. Salad Annie. Yep.
Yeah. Don't they eat, they used to eat that down south.
Right. But they take the leaves and they boil them and change the water like 3 times. So you can, but it's not recommended. I mean, you can certainly do that. But coke has a lot of very active constituents that can be very poisonous. I do use it for medicine, but it's very small amounts as well. So that would be one I'd want to steer clear. It has beautiful purple berries, but the seeds are very poisonous.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. And, you know, but also just to kind of give you an idea when she's saying very poisonous, like, you would have to eat a lot of the berries, you know, like a few handfuls of the berries, which maybe is not that many. But if you've ever put a poke berry in your mouth, which you should never do, it is so disgusting. It is, like, your body will immediately reject it. It is so gross. You really don't need to worry about your kids, like, going out and scoffing down handfuls of poke berries or anything.
Yeah. Wow. And people have eaten the berries, but if you chew the seeds, that's when you're going to release the poison.
Okay.
So there's that, too.
All right, look, we're gonna run out of time. I want to very quickly, Greg. You heard the commercial, the promo for the talent show. How are signups going?
Signups. So the deadline is the 15th, and it's usually like 95% sign up in that last week. But they're actually my guest on the show next week. The Concord Coalition will be checking in. We'll talk a little bit about the talent.
Sweet.
Oh, you're the man.
Good.
That's
man.
Perfect.
Boy, you're
That's
right there. Perfect. Excellent. All right. Julianne Hartley, you can go to MissJulianne.com, or you want to, like, do the modern-day Yul Gibbons walk in the woods with Sarah. Sarah Woods Kender.
Yeah, see, look at
so
that.
She comes by it naturally. No, that's good.
Yeah.
Sarah at Sarah'sHerbs.com, or you can call her 279-2779. As always, Julianne, Sarah, thank you. Greg, as always, thank you, my friend, Concord Food Co-op. Check it out online or go down. Look for Greg. He's in the parking lot, the guy with the glasses sitting in the car.
thank you very much.
Thank you all. Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend, you too.
All right.
Thank you.
Wow.
News on the way.
Yes, sir.
And then another hour.
Yes, sir.
Going to talk to local business.
We are?
Opening up. Yeah, we are. In Laconia.